Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Our app is coming together nicely, but there's one last feature that we want to implement. So when the user selects one or more Flickr images from the long list multi-selector on the results, search results.xaml page, we'll want to take the Flickr image data and serialize it to disk using JSON. So in this first pass, we're going to then randomly select one of those Flickr image instances as the lock screen image, and we'll do that once. Then in the next lesson, we're going to randomly select from that list of serialized Flickr images once every 30 minutes, which is ultimately our goal. All right, so our game plan in this lesson is to start off by adding an app bar to the search results.xaml page, and that app bar will have one button so that when at least one item is selected on the long list multi-selector, we'll display it, we'll show the app bar, otherwise we'll hide it. And then we're gonna add a click event handler, or we'll handle the click event for the button to set this list of images as the list that we want to choose from randomly. And then finally, we're gonna create a class that will hold a series of helper methods that will actually take care of all the hard work of cleaning up all the images from our previous set. We will then save the new list, the Flickr list, to local storage, and then we'll also create a helper method to randomly select one Flickr image data and then download the image and use it as the phone's lock screen image. Okay, so this is a very code intensive lesson. For the most part, I'm going to provide an overview of the lines either as I'm going through it, one line at a time, or entire sections. Hopefully most of it will be obvious to you what I'm trying to accomplish. If I don't explain everything, then I would strongly encourage you to take a look at Microsoft's documentation. It is always the definitive source that you should be referencing for information about classes and methods. You really can't become a serious developer without consulting MSDN several times a day, or several times an hour, okay? So let's start off by adding the app bar. We've done this several times already. In fact, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna copy and paste the code that we've already written from the mainpage.xaml.cs to our searchresults.xaml.cs file. And ideally you wouldn't do this, but most of the code is boilerplate. I'm gonna just go ahead and change a few things about it here. For example, we will change the button, and we're gonna use this toolkit.content application bar check.png file. So let's use that. And then the next thing I want to do is I'm going to set the text equal to set. And then let's go ahead and rename this completely. So plus equals, and then we'll choose the app bar button underscore click tab tab. We'll come back to that in a little while. We'll want to add the app bar button. Great. And we'll get rid of all this. Actually, this part right here, and we'll leave that. So that's pretty much what we want. Very good. Let me go ahead and also here at the very top, go application bar dot is visible. So we'll set it to false initially, and then we'll only show it whenever there's multiple selections, and we'll do that in just a second here. Let's get rid of that too. Good. And then obviously we'll want to call this from the constructor of our class, search results constructor. All right, and so now I need to add the display logic that will actually then turn isVisible equal true whenever one or more items are selected in the long list multi-selector. Now you recall previously we added this selection changed event and set it to this this event handler called photos for lock screen underscore selection changed. Let me also give this the name of photos for lock screen, like so. And then here, what we'll do is go to that method stub that was created previously. And what we want to do is add some simple logic here so that if photos for lock screen, selection selected items dot count is 0. Actually, we don't need that. We'll just go application bar dot is visible equal. Otherwise, we'll set it true. Okay, that was easy enough. Okay, so what I want to do is get a subset here of the selected Flickr images. So imgs equals new list Flickr image, great. And what we'll do is we're going to go through each item that's in the long list multi-selector. So photos for lock screen dot selected items dot, or just selected items. So each item should represent a Flickr image. So we should be able to do this type of conversion. So image equals item as Flickr image. All right, and we'll do a little check here. Make sure it's not empty. And then we will add it to our little list. And now that we have this subset, this list of selected items, we can pass it into a series of helper methods. So let's make a to-do list of the types of things that we're going to need to do to make this all work. First of all, I'm going to want to clean out all of the images that are currently in isolated storage. Then I want to save this new list of selected images to isolated storage. And then finally, I want to randomly select one item and set it as the lock screen. All right. And then once all these operations are complete, I want to give some feedback to the user that the set operation has completed. So we'll just show a message box. And the message we'll give is, I don't know, you have a new background, assuming everything went OK. We'll give it a title. And what we want it to have in terms of a button on the bottom of it, let's have an OK button. All right, so let's just run the app real quick and see the general flow of things as it stands right now. Okay, so I'm going to type in the word food again and click search. All right, and we'll click a couple of, notice when I click the pizza icon that our app bar appeared, and I'll just select a few more and click the little check mark and it says you have a new background, great. Now comes the hard part where we have to do all of the hard work in these little to-do items. So I want these to be in their own class, a class of helper methods, and you'll see ultimately I'm gonna take this class and move it in the next lesson, but for now that's why I'm separating all this functionality out into its own class file. Alright, so I'm going to add a new class and we're going to call this lockscreenhelpers.cs and click add. And so the very first thing I want to do here is to clean out storage. So I'm going to come up with a helper method name called lockscreenhelpers. And I'll create a static method called clean storage, like so. All right. So now let's go ahead and implement that. So public static void clean storage. And what we're going to want to do is we're going to get the isolated storage for our app, and we're going to attempt to delete all of the files inside of the folder where we're saving off our images ultimately. We don't have those folders yet in place. But also I want to save off, I want to delete any files that are in a folder that we're going to use for the icons that we'll use as flipped images in the start icon tile, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. Let's first of all do the part we know. We know how to go isolated storage file. Let's go ahead and add a using statement for this. So system.io.isolatedStorage. We want to get the storage folder. Isolated storage file dot get user store for application. All right, so we have the user store. And now what we want to do, I'm going to actually call out to a helper method to try to delete all files inside of a given folder. And so inside of our isolated storage area, we're going to have two subfolders. So let me go ahead and create two constants. So private const string. We'll call the first folder the background root. And we'll set that equal to images. And then private const string icon root, where we'll save the icons that are used to cycle through for the start bar icon. Those will be in shared shell content. Okay. And now we'll create this private static void. Try to delete all files. And we'll pass in the isolated storage file, which is really just the folder where we're for our isolated storage for our app, and then also one of these two directories. So So just to make sure that it exists, let's do a check first. Storage folder dot directory exists, and then we'll give it the directory. So if it exists, then we'll perform these tasks. And what we're going to want to do is go to the storage folder dot get the file names, and then we're going to loop through each file and delete it. So if you take a look at the help for this little method, it is going to return us an array of strings. So we'll go string array called files equals get file names. I guess we're going to have to give it the directory as well. And then we'll just do a simple for each string file and files. We'll delete the file. So storage folder dot delete file, and then we'll use the directory plus the file name. Okay, and just to be on the safe side, whenever we're working with any kind of folder operations, especially reads or writes, we should probably wrap them with a try and a catch. So let's do that. Whoops. And then if there is an exception, then we're probably just going to ignore it, because the file could be in use and it could be, the operating system might be using it for some reason. Let's not completely choke on that. We'll just gracefully ignore it, and then we'll get that file at some point in the future, the next time we call this try to delete all files. But I think we're ready now. We can pass in storage folder and then each of the two folder names. So background root and then icon root. All right, very nice. So I think that's going to satisfy our first to-do item. The next thing we're going to need to do is save this list of selected images to isolated storage. We're going to, again, take it, we're going to serialize it into JSON, and then store that JSON file onto disk. So to do that, let's create another helper method down here. And this time we're going to call this one public static void save selected background screens. And we're going to want to pass in that list of Flickr images, that subset. Selected by the user in the long list multi-selector. All right, so let's start off with JSON convert, and we'll need to add a using statement. JSON convert.serialize object, and we'll pass in data. And I believe, let's see, this will give us back the serialized data in the form of a string. So string, or let's just do, string data. And now that we have that, we want to write it to disk. So we've done something similar to this before. Let me just go through it real fast. We're going to need to give this thing a name. So I'm going to call it lock screen data, and we'll create a constant for that a little bit later. Let me think about this first. So now let's go ahead and create a private const string lock screen data, and we'll just call this lock screen data.json. So that'll be the name of the file. Very good. So that part's easy. Let's go and add that here. So we're going to save that list to disk, and we're going to give it that. Collection, right, of images. Oh, lock screen helpers. There we go. Nice. Okay. Now the final part here is that we're going to randomly select one item and set it as the lock screen. This is going to be a little bit tougher. So I'm going to call lock screen helpers dot. We'll call this set random image from local storage, something like that. And let's go ahead and implement this in our lock screen helpers.cs class. So let's go public static void set random image from local storage. And we're gonna have to take this in a couple of different steps. The first thing we wanna do is to actually do the opposite of what we did here. We're going to read out this file, deserialize the file from JSON into a list of Flickr image. Then once we have that, we'll randomly pick one of those items in that list of Flickr image to make the lock screen. Then we're going to have to set or grab the image down from the internet, step two. And then step three will be to set it as the lock screen. All right, so there's really three parts to this, so I anticipate there's going to be three methods. I'll just keep separating these out into their own little helper methods. All right, so let's start with the first part, which is to actually deserialize the file we need so we get that list back out. So this is going to start very familiar to everything else we've done up to this point. Isolated storage file, just to get a reference to our storage folder. All right, so let's make sure that file exists, because if we run this for the first time, it may not exist yet. And we can save ourselves a little bit of headache this way. So if it doesn't exist, then just return. We don't need to do this. But if it does exist, then we're going to want to isolate storage file stream, storage folder dot open file lock screen data, and we want a file mode open. Great. And inside of there, we'll go, we're going to need to read that baby out. So we're going to know using a stream reader, reader equals new stream reader, and we'll pass in I think we can give it a file stream. So let's just give it this stream, like so. And then finally, to grab the data out, we'll call reader.readToEnd. To end, great. And let's make this file data of just a local variable here, so string file data, like so. Okay, very cool. So that's the first part of it. So we have this string that represents what? Represents, it's JSON data that represents a list of Flickr image. So let's get it out of that by going JSON convert. And we'll do the opposite here, which is deserialize object, giving it the type we want to deserialize it into. So list of Flickr image, give it the file data. Awesome. Okay. All right, let's make sure that images is not empty. So if it's not equals null, then we can randomly find one image that we want to work with. So we're going to work with the random class, random number equals new random. And we're going to get a random number by using int index equals random number dot next. Give me the next one from 1 to images count. That'll be the top end. Okay. And then the last thing we'll need to do is just give me a to-do here. I've got the one I want. I'm going to need to set the image as the lock screen. Okay. So let's call a new helper method to do that part. So public static void set image, and we're going to need to give it, in order to set the image, we're going to need to find the image, and the image is going to be out on the internet, and so we're going to need to call out to the internet, and we're going to need a address or a URL or a URI to grab it. Okay. And so what I need to do, though, is to, there's a couple of parts to this. I want to grab it and save it to isolated storage in both of these directories, the background root and the icon root. All right, so let's start there. That's the part I understand. So isolated storage file, storage folder, just like we've been doing all along, we got to get that reference. Equals isolated storage file dot get, yep. Okay. And now, all right. We could potentially already have this file on disk, so let's make sure that it's not already there. If it's not, then we need to go grab it down from the internet. So storage folder dot file exists, and the name of the file will be, We need, that URI is going to be a full address, but we need just the local address, potentially. So we need to construct a URL. So let's give it something called image name. So if the file exists, image name. So we've got to construct an image name. So let's do that here. String image name equals. And so I know part of it's going to be the background root, but we also need just the file name part of this URI. So let's do this. String file name equals. Now, fortunately, URI has this segments, method or property or something. Here, let's take a look at it. URI segments property. And what you can do, it says the segment property returns an array of strings containing the segments, the substrings, from the URI's absolute path. The first segment is obtained by parsing the absolute path from its first character until you reach a slash or the end of the path. Okay, so the example here is this is a segment. This is a segment, this is a segment, and then the file name itself is a segment. So we want this last segment. So to get at that, we'll go segments, and we'll index into it using URI.segments. How many segments are there? Let's get its length, and then subtract 1 because it's going to be 0-based. All right, so that should give us just the file name part of the URI. And now that we have that, we can construct the image name. So it's going to be the background root plus the file name. Great. All right, so if we've already got that, if we don't already have that image name in our isolated storage, then we want to go grab it down from the internet. All right, so we're going to need a file to retrieve that into. So we're going to go using isolated storage file stream, called stream, equals storage folder dot create file, which should return, yes, an isolated storage file stream. And then we'll give it the image name. Yes, we want to create the file in isolated storage, so we'll give it that name. Now we need to get out, and we'll use our HTTP client. We don't have a reference to that. That was the previous project, I think. Do we have a reference to that? System.net.http, is that the right one? Well, we do have that here. I think we've already got that in our project. Yes, we had to have had it in our project. Sorry, I'm getting things all mixed up in my mind. All right, so client equals new HTTP client, great. And so what we want to do is client dot, and this time we're not bringing back string values. We want to bring back data that can be put into an image to create an image file. So we're going to need get byte arrays async, and that will return a string of bytes. All right, and it's awaitable too. So we'll have to do this. Byte array flicker result equals await client.getByteArrayAsync, giving it the URI. Yes. Async. There we go. Beautiful. All right, so now we've got all the bytes. Now we got to write them to disk. So stream.writeAsync. And we're going to give it the byte array, so flicker result, and then we're going to give it the offset and how many bytes to use. So we want to start at 0 and give it the entire thing. So flicker result dot length. All right, and that's how you pass all the bytes into the file. And it's awaitable, right? Yes. So we need to call it like that. Great. And so now that we have that file sitting on in our isolated storage in our images folder, we said we also wanted to create a copy of that for the purpose of the start screen. We want to use all the images on the start screen and cycle through them. So we're going to put a copy of it in this shared shell content. So I'm going to copy our file. So right here, we're going to go storage folder dot copy file. There we go. And we'll take the image name, and we're going to need to create a new image name because this is going to be for the background root, so we need an icon name. So let's go string icon name equals that icon root plus the file name. So from the image name to the icon name, I think this is going to work. All right, awesome. Phew, okay, so there we go with that. Let's clean up a little bit. I think the last thing we're going to need now to do is to actually set the lock screen. And that reminds me, now that we have set image complete, I can call that from here. So set image, and we're going to pass in, I think we have images, right? Yes, images, and give me the random item that was selected. And we want the URI for the larger image version. Awesome. Okay, good. So now let's call set lock screen. And this one's a little bit trickier. Let's go private static void set lock screen. And we're going to need to give it the name of the file. Now, we could probably just churn through this. However, this is going to be borrowed heavily from this article on MSDN, Lock Screen Background for Windows Phone 8. And I highly recommend, as background material, you read this entire thing. But ultimately, what we need to do is really two steps. Here's the code that we're going to need to write. We're going to need to become the phone's background provider for lock screen images. And I'll walk through what all this code means in just a moment. But in order to enable that functionality, to say that our phone is available as a lock screen background provider, we're going to have to add a special extension to our WM app manifest.xml file. So that's a good first step. Now, the good news is that, see, there's a bunch of stuff in here. I don't know what it does. As far as extensions are concerned, as far as I know, this is the only extension that's even available on the phone API, this lock screen underscore background, again, as far as I know, today. And so I'm just going to copy this, and then we're going to open up our WM app manifest.xml. Now, typically, when we just double-click and open it up, we get the friendly designer, and that limits the choices that we can make here and makes it easy for us. But there's no design support for this extensions XML element. So what we'll have to do is right-click this file and select Open With, and then choose XML Text Editor with encoding, and then click OK. And yes, we'll let it auto-detect the type of encoding. And then beneath this tokens area right here, I want to paste in that extension stuff that we copied from MSDN. And then I'm going to save all that and get out of that. All right, now we're going to come back to this set lock screen. And this will be borrowed heavily from this passage. In fact, I could probably just copy and paste all of this directly into my project, but I'm going to rewrite it because I want to change the names of some things. And we can also talk through what we're doing here. But again, I want to emphasize that that is required background reading for this step in the lesson. All right, so let's begin. And first of all, we're going to find out, are we currently the back screen, the lock screen provider of images to the phone? If not, then let's ask for that permission from the user of the phone. If they say yes, then we can continue on and choose one of our photos randomly to be the photo on the lock screen. Okay, so that's the overall process. So first of all, we're gonna get to this lock screen manager. And we'll have to add a using statement to get at that. So it's in the windows.phone.system.userprofile namespace. Good deal. And we're gonna ask, is the lock screen manager provided by the current application currently, and that's going to return back a bool. So let's get bool. Do we currently have access for the lock screen? Yes or no? True or false? If we don't has access for lock screen, then we're going to request it. So we're going to call lock screen manager dot request access async. When you see the async, you should be thinking, is it awaitable? And it is, which means we're going to have to add async to get this to work. And notice that this returns back an object of type lock screen request result. Now, I don't want to create that, so I'm just going to use var. So var access requested. All right, very good. And now we'll set has access for lock screen equal to, and we'll say is access requested equal to the lock screen request result granted. If it is, then we're good. We do has access for lock screen. If this is evaluates to false, then we do not. But if we do has access for lock screen, so if has access for lock screen is true, then we can do the next biggie, which is to actually set. So lock screen manager, or just lock screen dot, we're gonna set the image URI. So we've got to build that image URI. Where's that image stored? Let's create a URI. So image URI equals new URI. All right, and this is where the article can really help out. This will give us the absolute position on the phone. So the following code example shows how the new URI schema, MS data, points to the root of the local app data folder. MSAppX points to the local app install folder to reference resource. All right, so I think what we want is this second part right here. So let's copy that out. Control C to copy just that part. So new URI, paste that in there. Yes. And we'll give it the background root plus the file name. And this is an absolute this time. Okay, and then we'll give it image URI. Whew. Now we can come back here and call set lock screen and give it a file name. Do we have a file name? Yeah, we're just going to give it this right here, right? Yes. Yes, because we'll build the rest of it here. Okay, good. We have one more task that we need to complete, though. We haven't really talked about this much, but what we want to do is focus on the start page tile, and we want to add this image as part of the rotation of cycle images. So let's go here and do the next part. Okay, so what we'll do is, first of all, we're gonna get a reference to the main page tile, and so I'm gonna need to add a using statement in order to access the shell tile class. So using microsoft.phone.shell, so shell tile dot active tiles dot first or default. Now if we don't have it pinned to the start page, then there won't be any active tiles. So let's make sure that we're working with a pinned tile first of all. So if main tile is null, then the app hasn't been pinned and this is really a moot point. We're going to need to, what we want to do is add, all right, so assuming that we do have this pinned to our start screen, then let's do this cycle tile data dot tile data equals new cycle tile data, and tile data dot cycle images. So what we're going to do is create a list of URIs that contain the images we want to use to cycle through for the main tile. We're doing this programmatically as opposed to through the WM app manifest, because we're going to do this again dynamically. And as you can see, we're going to need to build a list of images, or a list of URIs rather. And so let's do that now. And we're just going to give it one because I'm lazy. And we're going to go to ISO store where all of the that image data should be, plus icon root plus file name, and this will be an absolute reference. Our images equals new list of URI. And then images.add the icon URI. Okay, so now we have our list. It'll have at least one item in it. We're going to set it equal to the current cycle images. And then finally, main tile, update yourself. And here is the shell tile data we want you to use, tile data. And it only has one item in it, but I suppose we could rework this code to grab the current set of cycle images first and then add to the current set. So that wouldn't be a hard change to make. Okay, before we run this, I realized that I made a mistake here. I got a little ahead of myself here. What I need to also do after this check, right here we need to check and make sure that if the storage folder, the directory exists, and background root, then we want to go storage folder dot, if it doesn't exist, then we want to create it. If we forget to do this, then the first time we try to create this file, it's going to blow up because we're going to try and put it in a folder that doesn't exist. So I think that's all I need to do. So I forgot that one little check to create the direct before we created the directory. And I think it's going to work this time. All right, so let's go ahead and save. And now let's cross our fingers and run. All right, let's search for night. All right, let's choose a couple of images here and then click the set button, and it says you have a new background. Oh, it asks, do you want to let this app change your lock screen? Yes. All right, so now I'm going to hit the F12 key on my keyboard twice. First time, we'll shut the phone off. Second time, we'll reload, and now you can see we have an image set as our lock screen. Yes. All right, phew, that was a pretty long lesson. Hopefully you're able to stick with me through it. There's a lot to do there. Now, really, let's check one last thing here. Let's go here. Let's go to our app around me. And I'm going to hold down and select pin to start. And you can see it uses that image as well on a cycle. And we only have one image in there. But there it is. Okay, so that's really great. Okay, so to recap, most of what we did in this lesson was very specific to creating an app that controls a lock screen. Now, while that's interesting, very few developers will need to create this specific style of app, admittedly, but that's not really the big takeaway from this lesson, in my opinion. Instead, this should give you a sense of the depth of the API and just how many aspects of the app and its integration with the Windows Phone 8 operating system you can actually control as a developer. It should also provide a good sense of how you would go about it and the skills that you would need in order to make these kinds of changes, many of which that we covered in this lesson. All right, one last lesson and then we will wrap up. See you there. Thank you.